Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Coach Jake, and we're in the middle of this series on salt and light. Jesus is telling us, here's how you can be the salt of the world, how you can change the flavor of the places you are. Here's how you can be the light of the world, how you can bring goodness to dark places. And that's what his whole sermon's about. Today, being pastor, I have all these conversations with different people, though, and I've heard a lot of people in different spots. And I want you to think about, where are you at today? How do you feel today? And do you relate at all to this picture? Okay. So some of you relate to this guy, right? I've heard from some people that you're just about to get a house and you feel like all these great things are happening and you're pushing on into all these problems, and you're making it better. You're fighting and winning. From other people that look like this guy, with whole face flowing back, I've heard things like, maybe I should just try to be sober today. I heard that. I heard also today, they called me a bum, and it hurts. The thing that's scariest about the guy over here, that I think is the scariest anyways, is that look at where those hands are at. I mean, like, this is not the only punch that guy is going to endure. You know, I mean, like, your hands are down here, it's just begun. You know? And some of you are feeling that way. Like, you caught me right in the middle of a storm. And I showed up to church today, but I'm ready to get pummeled by what's going on in my life. These both are active types of people. There's one more type maybe in the room today. Maybe you have this guy is where you're at. You've been in a fight in the past, but you're on the side right now. And whether you're confused or whether you think it's not worth it, you know that your knuckles are numb. So which of those do you fit with this morning? Whichever you fit with, my hope is that you want some of this moment. Okay, I introduce myself as Coach Jake, and I think we go through these moments in life and we think, I wish I had somebody there in my corner to tell me what's the next thing to do. Somebody to be watching what's going on and just tell me what to do next. And the sermon, when you look at your whole week, this is a pretty short little moment in your week. But imagine someone just squirted a little bit of water in your mouth, and you're about to spit it out, and I'm going to just give you a few tips, okay? That's where we're at in your week, okay? If you want some coaching, here's the thing about the coach in this scene, though. The reality is the coach is going to give you this advice, and then the person's got to get up and do something about it. And honestly, like, the coach is not going to be the one getting hit in the face. Like, you guys are going to face your weeks, okay? And I'm not going to be there every second of your week. The advice I want to throw out to you, though, is really, my hope is that it's something different than just Jake's best wisdom. Because if you showed up today and I offered you, here's Jake's wisdom, or do you want an experience with Jesus? I mean, we all know what we want, right? We all want an experience with Jesus. Jesus is the only place for salvation. No matter what you've done before this moment, Jesus is willing to save you today. He's willing to say, like, I will come in and make things right. So that's what we all need. We need that experience with Jesus. And what I'm trying to do as your coach is give you a few tools to help you get there, but you have to stand up and do something about it, okay? So today, what's the tool I'm going to give you? First, you got to be active even during the sermon. So I'm going to give you 5 questions. My challenge to you, if you're type of person like the top left, if you're a person who can write and legibly enough for you to read it at least, like, there's notepads in front of you, write those 5 questions down. If you're the type of person like, no, not for me, Jake, I'm not a writer, maybe you have a cell phone, you're welcome to take a picture. The slides will be white in the background. They're the only white slides we have, okay? So that's your cue. Take a picture of the slide. Why are these questions so important? I've got that open door at the bottom there. Each of these questions, if you will search them out, it'll be like opening a door. It'll lead you into some great things with Jesus. If you will wrestle with the question and say, Jesus, come and teach me, I believe it'll be a doorway to unlock something in your life. Okay? These questions are going to be inspired from Matthew chapter 7. If you want to turn there, we're going to have it up here on the screen. So verse 1, Jesus is talking here. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. A common phrase in church is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's kind of the basic thing that we're supposed to do. And what that means, the Lord part, I mean, Savior is God, I need your help, but the Lord part is, I'm going to do what you say. You're the boss. So here's the boss talking. He says, do not judge. Right away, we have plenty to apply, probably, right? That'll keep us busy trying to improve for a long time. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Here's a scary verse in verse 2. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you get mad when other people disrespect you, but then do you disrespect other people? Get really frustrated when someone interrupts you and doesn't listen well. But how good of a listener are you? Or you can't believe the way that person drives. But you know, like, and we could just go on and on and on, right? The measure you use is going to be measured to you. I don't want that, right? So what do we do? Well, we've got these questions here today. So here's the questions. I've got two on this number one, so sorry. I'm kind of double dipping here. But it's, how do you need grace? Rather than just feeling guilty and feeling like, oh, I need to judge less, let's make it positive. What's an area where you know you need some grace? Maybe you have a temper problem. Maybe you constantly say things that you later regret. Maybe you know that you're greedy. Where's an area that you know you need grace in? If you don't have any, I probably have a tip for you of an area where you can improve. But all of us probably can figure out, here's an area where I need some grace from the people around me. So let's just, how can you give that same grace within 24 hours? Be specific, who and how. So if you're the type of person who says something that you wish you could take back, probably know somebody you're going to see in the next 24 hours that has the same problem. And what if you just, the next time they say something boneheaded, you give them the benefit of the doubt and you're patient and you let them make up for it? What if you gave them the same grace that you need? You let your own weaknesses guide you on how to love somebody else. We're going to keep rolling here today. So here's verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I can still remember my youth pastor preaching on this and having a 2x4 when he preached on this. And he was holding it around out of his eye the whole time he preached, you know, and swinging it around. But that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, if you look around this room, there's definitely a lot of sawdust. I mean, myself included. There's a lot of little problems. If you look around for little things people are doing wrong, like, going to be busy, you know? There's a lot of that around here. The problem is we're trying to fix other people's little problems when we have a giant problem. You can see why that makes issues. Here's what Jesus says. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? Just use your imagination for a minute. Imagine what that would be like. Somebody has a 2x4 in their eye, and they're like, here, come here, let me take that little, you got a little something. And they got a 2x4. Like, that's not going to work out for anybody, right? That's what we do. You never want to be called hypocrite by Jesus. It's a scary thing, but here it is. He says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Notice he doesn't say, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Notice he doesn't say, ignore everything that everybody else is doing wrong. Pretend that it's all rainbows and unicorns and everything's perfect in the world. Because if you've ever tried to just have a positive attitude, it probably didn't work out for you, right? If you're lying to yourself, is not the way to have the life that God intends for you. The reality is the world is messed up. The people, even in this room, like, we need each other's help to get better. But don't kid yourself that you can help other people if you're not even dealing with your own stuff. And the reality is, once you deal with one plank, Jesus is good about pointing out, like, there's something else to work on. But the people I want helping me are the people that are already working on their own stuff, right? So here's my question for you. What is the plank you need to work on before helping anyone this week? There's some of us in the room that we are so busy feeling guilty and running around and trying to help other people, and we never deal with our own stuff, and so we make problems for Jesus. Instead of helping Jesus, we're making things harder on him because we're running around with a plank, we're running around with a 2x4 hitting people in the head. I bet each one of us would be better used to Jesus this week if you started by saying, Jesus, work on me with something big in my life, and then we'll talk about if you want me to help someone else. So that means if you're one of our small group leaders, you're planning on leading small group on Wednesday night, that's helping other people. But maybe before Wednesday night, like, work on something yourself in your own life before you show up and try to help other people. Number 6, this one is a verse that gives a lot of people hard times, a lot of different ways it gets interpreted, but it says, do not give dogs what is sacred, do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. The great thing about Christianity is Jesus doesn't say, go listen to one person and have them tell you everything. Jesus says, I will give you my spirit, and my spirit will guide you into all truth. So when we come across verses that are a little hard to understand, let me tell you, like, don't just listen to what Jake thinks. Like, Donnie can hear from Jesus himself. Bob can hear from Jesus himself. Buck can hear from Jesus himself. So go to Jesus and ask, like, what does this mean? I don't understand it. Jake's best understanding is Jesus puts treasures inside of you. When you go through real painful stuff or real hard stuff, real emotional things, it might start off as sand, start off as just painful inside of you. But if you will work on it with Jesus, he can turn it into a pearl. He can turn something real hard that you go through into this really beautiful thing. But I think we've all had the experience of we've got something that's a treasure inside of us, and we opened it up to a whole bunch of people, and they trampled on it. They didn't really listen to us. They didn't pay attention. And we think, like, I don't even want to share that anymore. In fact, maybe we felt destroyed at the end of sharing our treasure. And I believe what Jesus is saying here is, like, some people are, in that moment, they're acting like pigs. And if you hand them your best, deepest stuff, It's not gonna help anybody. Pig's not gonna appreciate it, and it's gonna ruin something inside of you. It's kind of a deep thought. Here's our question for you guys to ponder, though. What is one of your pearls? What is something that Jesus has worked a miracle inside of you, and now you have a treasure that's waiting for the right moment to share, waiting for the right person to share it with? It's easy sometimes to read the Sermon on the Mount and just feel guilty, but there's a lot of really encouraging stuff. And one of the encouraging things about that verse is, like, God has put some treasure inside of people who walk with him. So spend a little bit of time with Jesus talking over that. Jesus, what's a pearl that you've put inside of me that I need to be careful how I share it because it's precious? Kind of rapid fire today. We'll keep going. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. This is a very famous verse. She's going to reemphasize it in verse 8. It says, for everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is a promise from Jesus that if you go after stuff, you're going to get it. And it doesn't say everyone who asks for good things. Doesn't say everyone who knocks on the door of the church. Doesn't say everybody who seeks after knowledge of the Bible. It just says if you're after something, you're going to get it. If you look back at the course of your life, if you're honest with yourself, have you gotten the things that you have been after? Because I think this is a truth that Jesus is trying to bring out to us. Sometimes Satan will trick us and make us think, oh, I'm really after this. But for instance, if you've been after never being disrespected, at some point, you keep down that road, you'll find probably that you are totally alone. Which is one way to achieve not being disrespected by anyone else. You see how that works? A lot of the times the stuff we're after, Satan will tell us, oh, you're after this really good thing, but what were you really after? And a lot of times, oh, if you stick on that road long enough, you'll get to where you're going. You'll get the thing you're after. And a lot of times that's when you realize, oh, this was all a sham. It's when you're in that prison cell or you're in that terrible moment alone, you realize this thing I've been after wasn't what I really want. So what you're after, you get. Here's the question to reflect on. What have you been pursuing this weekend? Let's not wait 20 years and have Jackson County help us figure out that we've been on the wrong road or something. You know, like, let's not wait for that. How about just get it small? Just since Santa Caligon started, what have you been pursuing? Because if the thing you've been after is, oh, I just want to get away from these kids, they're just such a strain on me. Like, imagine if you actually got that thing that you're after. You don't really want it, right? So why are you chasing it right now? If you don't really want it, stop knocking on the door. So think, what have you been pursuing this weekend? Got four questions. This fifth one, though, I'm going to kind of spend a little bit of extra time on, okay? Jesus says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? This is a key verse for us. Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I mean, Jesus is real straight with us, right? He's like, even though you guys are a bunch of evil, like, mess, you still treat your kids with love, right? And we don't always even do that. But for the most part, we try to help our kids. And he's saying, if we, as much of a mess as we are, we try to do good by our kids, how much more is God going to take care of us? And we see it, and we even sing some songs about it. You might be like, yeah, that's true while I'm in this room. How much of us, like, is that really true as a core thing inside of you? That God wants to give you good things. Most of us believe, oh, God, I'm just trying to stay on his good side. He's out to get me, or he's disappointed in me. God doesn't think I'm doing enough. Or we think, God doesn't really care or notice me. What this says is God's your Father waiting for you to ask so he can give you something good. The reason I make such a big deal out of this is the next verse we'll get to, it doesn't work unless you believe this. Do you believe that God wants to be your good Father? Have you accepted Jesus as your way to get to that relationship with God? Let me give you an example here. Chrissy actually told me, like, this would make a really good sermon illustration, and so I stole it from Chrissy, so this is probably the best part of the sermon. Kariana, our 2.5-year-old, she went in for infusions this week because she's still getting treatments for herself, even though she's been doing really good. So thank you guys for praying for her on that. But she's like the cutest little girl, and, you know, she'll walk up to the little infusion center, and she goes there enough, like, she knows how everything works. So she'll, like, prance up to, like, the little scale and, like, step on it, and then she'll sit on the chair and, like, put her arm out for, like, the little blood pressure cuff and stuff. And she'll see, so any nurse, like, instantly is just in love with Kariana, right? And so typically, at the end of infusion, some nurses will want to give her things, right? So she always is coming home with lots and lots of stuff. Like, we have more toys than we can handle. But this last week, somebody gave her a little token to get what ended up being this little bouncy ball. It's like, it doesn't even bounce very well, but it's very small. And a small ball is not a source of joy primarily to a little girl. What we found is it's a source of a lot of upset tears because she was losing it constantly and then super upset. She'd be pretty upset when she lost it. She'd be really upset when her brother lost it. So both of those were happening quite a bit. And so she's constantly asking, like, will you look for it? Will you look for it? And stuck under all the furniture and stuff. So she's not, typically not very happy, mostly just upset by it. And Christy and I, after like a couple of days of that, were like, we got to get rid of this ball. And I had even seen it under the couch as I'm getting ready to put him to bed. And like, we'd been looking for it for a while, but no one was talking about it in that moment. I just thought, like, what's going to stay down there for right now? I'm not pulling this back out right this moment. Like, it's just going to stay. But then the very next morning, first words out of Kariana's mouth is, will you help me look for the ball? And I dodged it. You know, I don't want to lie. I was like, I already know where it is. So I was like, it's not time for the ball or something, I told her. You know, here's the thing, though. Chrissy is smarter than me. You know, like, I just wanted to, like, throw the ball away and just, like, sorry. Ball was bad. But Chrissy, I mean, I didn't want to lie, but I just wanted to say, like, sorry. We're just going to cry for a little bit and then just be done. Chrissy's smarter. Chrissy's like, why don't we go to Kariana and say, this ball's not been good, but if you will throw the ball away, we'll go get you another ball because it was a reward for her doing good at the hospital, which is a good thing. Like I said, Chrissy's much smarter than me. So we went to Kariana, you know, talked to her, you know, will you throw this away and we'll go get you a better ball? And instantly, she just ran over to the trash can and lifted up the trash can and she threw it away. She was happy. She was on board. And it's because she's 2.5 and like way more trusting than all of us, right? Because here's the deal, like, if you have had that same cycle in your life, maybe there's some boyfriend that you have, and it's caused a lot more tears than it's caused smiles. Or maybe there's some place that you live, and you know it's not really good for you. Maybe there's some friendships that you have, and when you look at it, you realize, like, this is really not healthy for me. But if God would come to you and say, well, you throw away that thing, you would not be like Kariana. You would be like, oh, I'm going to hold even tighter. Kariana just threw it away. There were some puddles in the parking lot. Like, she had fun playing in the puddles. She walked through all this, like, we had to buy cleaner and all sorts of random stuff. She went, took about 45 minutes before we got to the toy section, which in 2.5-year-old years is like 7 weeks, you know? And for most of us, if you had to give something up and there's no sign that the thing you want is getting replaced for weeks, we're not very happy, right? Because we don't trust. When we're afraid, when we doubt, when we live out of fear, it shows we don't have faith. But for people like little Kariana that are faithful and just like throw it away and stick with it and are patient, like then you get, oops, can't get this to work. You get this moment, you know? So like, she likes that ball a lot better. So, and we like that ball a lot better too because you don't lose that ball. That ball is, there's no problem with losing it. We've never had to say, like, help me look for the ball. Like, that hasn't happened. She loves it. She's played with it constantly. So, it's better. And I'm not a perfect parent, but I didn't want to take that ball from her because I was mean. I wanted to take it from her because I knew, like, that is just making you upset all the time. And I want to give you something that's much better that will just make you happy. Do you believe that God is better than I am at being a dad? So here's our last question, or here's our last thought from Jesus. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do for you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. If you believe that God is going to provide for you, then you're ready to love other people. That's where the so comes in. Only after you accept God as your good father do you have enough to share. If you're worried that you're not going to have enough for yourself, you can't begin to treat people the way this verse talks about. Don't try to be good on your own. Receive from God and then treat people the way you want to be treated. It's the only way it works. You can't do the second step before you trust God. It's only when you start receiving from God that you can start loving the right way. Final question. How would you treat blank? You get to pick a person. If you fully trusted God would generously take care of you, how would you treat him? If you weren't scared, if you weren't worried, is there somebody that you would show respect to because you're not afraid that they're going to disrespect you? And it says, what one action would you make the biggest step towards that belief? So these questions, if you wrote them down, I'm really proud of you. If you did not write them down, I actually thought there'd be some of you that wouldn't write them down, so I printed them on either side of the stage. So either you can pick them up. And some of you are like, why did you do that to me, Jake? You just made me work for nothing. So trying to at least be a good coach pushes you as far as you're willing to go. And for some of you that are high achievers, honestly, you'll get more out of it if you wrote it down. It'll stick in your heart more. Yes, way to go. For some of you that are lower achievers, try to use good language. My wife was like, don't call them this or that when I was talking about the sermon. Some of you that are lower achievers, we've got this here for you because you can still get something out of it if you want to pick it up and reflect on it. The final thought, the worship team is coming up. The final thought for you today, though, these questions, they're not answered yet. You need to spend some time with them yourself. You need to clear some space and say, Jesus, have an experience with me. Jesus, help me to understand what you want me to do. Because when you clear space, that's when Jesus can interact with you. And so tomorrow, maybe you go for a walk, or this afternoon, you say, I'm not listening to any music, I'm just going to reflect on this question. Give some space so Jesus can talk. We're going to have people down front if you want to pray. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for loving us, for wanting to do good for us. Help us to put our hope and our trust in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.